What's up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. As always, hosted on the Locked On Podcast Network, I am Positive Chuck Mockler here for a pretty chill Twitter Tuesday. Going to highlight some pretty sweet posts we saw regarding the Clippers, wrapping up some of the preseason action, a lot to actually talk about in the Western Conference for that, and then a preview of the preseason game against the Nuggets, as well as just some notes from the open scrimmage that happened yesterday. Right off, we're going to start off talking about the preseason. DeAndre Ayton continuing to kind of make my co-host William and I eat our words. They played the Golden State Warriors. The Suns ended up winning 117-109. The biggest thing here is that DeAndre Ayton continued to look really, really good offensively. He had 18-7-4 with two steals in there as well. He, you know, like I said, he's starting to make us kind of be wrong, I think, about perhaps being overrated. He seems to have gotten even better than he was in Summer League, which is a really big kind of jump to make in such a short amount of time. It's been reported he's a fast learner, and he absolutely definitely seems to be backing that up. He looks good on defense, you know, maybe a little overwhelmed. I think one of the reasons I kind of bought into the overrated on defense thing was that I personally don't watch a whole lot of college basketball, so I kind of went off of that. I had read up before actually I started doing this podcast today that he played against a super slow, not very mobile five in college. So he was kind of having to guard fours, which I can see being an issue. I think he might get exposed if he has to do that in the NBA, but he probably won't because the NBA is not college. So Ayton's looking great. The Suns look like they have a fantastic guy down low for the foreseeable future. Still no GM over there. Reportedly, James Jones is the front runner to be the GM, which I guess makes sense. I don't know. It seems like to be a GM, you just have to know the owner fairly well and then maybe have played basketball. Who knows? So another note from this game, which is kind of funny, Steve Kerr actually got ejected from this game, which you love to see. It really seems like the whole of the NBA is taking the preseason way more seriously than it used to, I guess. So that was good to see. Steph Curry had 23 points on 8 of 14 shooting. Terrifying as always. Golden State still looks like they're going to be great. Good for the Suns for getting this win. Let's see if they can carry it over into the regular season. Maybe surprise some of us. The Kings played Maccabi Haifa. I apologize if I pronounced that wrong. The biggest story from the Kings so far this year is that Harry Giles is really Giles Giles. I apologize if I got that wrong. He is on the rise. He had 16-7-3 with four blocks. Yes, this was against a second division team from Europe, but that doesn't matter. He's looking insanely smooth. He had a really gorgeous behind-the-back pass, and like he's going to be a real contributor. He had some weird hype issues, which, you know, the hype machine in Sacramento can be bad. They always have a high draft pick, so I feel like there's always expectations for these guys, and they never go well. But Harry Giles seems like he's ready to make that next step this year, be a real contributor for the Kings, who might be dangerous. I don't know. One of the things I've noticed is that a lot of these bad teams, quote-unquote, this year are at least going to be pretty fun to watch. Seems like they're all going to be great league pass teams. I'm really excited to actually watch any of the Suns versus Kings game. They probably won't mean anything, but hey, it'll be a good time for everyone watching. Ex-Clipper Blake Griffin and the Pistons were playing. They ended up actually losing to the Nets, 110-108 in OT. Close game! Very close game. Good to see for those preseason fans. D'Angelo Russell had 25 against them. He's looking fantastic. I'm a big D'Angelo Russell fan. If for some reason there's any Lakers fans listening, I'd love to get kind of your two cents on getting rid of D'Angelo. It looks like he's really grown into his own in Brooklyn. Maybe that's a, you know, maybe I think it was probably actually better for both teams to let him go and kind of come into his own. But he definitely looks like he's ready to, you know, mess stuff up this year, which is going to be fun to watch. I like when he's playing with confidence and, you know, doing the ice in my veins celebration. I think we all like that. Blake Griffin had a couple of long jumpers that looked really good in this game. I think it's such a shock to see Blake's, you know, new shot, I guess, with how much people talk about how hard it is to revamp a shot. I think Blake Griffin kind of shows that it is really hard. You know, he had, when he came into the league, he had this weird shot where he would jump and almost wait until he was descending to the ground to release the ball. And he's smoothed that out over the years to where it looks like a really legit jumper. Funny thing, actually, on one of his three-pointers, he did kind of do the old-school jump, wait a half second, let go of the shot. But hey, it went in, so who cares? He did get absolutely rejected going for a dunk attempt. I think that's just an illustration of the decline in athleticism. That's not a knock on Blake at all. That's something that happens to every single human being, let alone people who make their living dunking and who have had major injuries. But it was kind of shocking, actually. I don't think I'd ever seen him get blocked like that before. Maybe, I don't know. This year for the Pistons, it's going to be interesting. There was a video I watched earlier of Andre Drummond hitting corner threes in practice. It really, to me, it reminds me of the scene in Jurassic Park. I believe it's Jeff Goldblum's character who says, just because you can doesn't mean you should, or something along those lines. That's how I feel with a lot of these big guys taking threes. I'm like, it's great you're doing this in practice, but realistically in a game, with how little offensive rebounds seem to be cared about, putting one of your guys out on the perimeter who can shoot maybe 35% seems like a bad idea from my amateur coaching standpoint. But that's just me. Pistons, if everyone's healthy, are going to be a pretty nasty team this year. Probably do better than they did last year, but hey, we got the pick from them last year, so everything is fine. The Pacers beat the Cavs 111-102. Oladipo looking strong as ever, best shape of his life, 23-6. The Cavs' highest scorer was Kyle Korver with 17. Kevin Love did not play, and I think this is going to be, if Kevin Love is hurt, we're going to see a lot of score lines like this, where Korver's the highest scorer or something goofy like that. This team does not have a lot of threats for scoring outside of, I guess, Korver and K-Love. But who knows? The biggest takeaway for me, just reading the box score for this game, was TJ Leaf. He had 13 on 6 of 9 shooting. True, I mean, insanely efficient. That's really awesome to see. He did get to start this game. I caught a few of his games when he was on UCLA playing with Lonzo Ball and all of Los Angeles was caught up in the Lonzo media train. And if he can make his defense not truly awful, he could be a legitimate contributor to this Pacers team. There seems to be, no glaring weaknesses with this Pacers squad. I'm really excited to watch these top Eastern Conference teams. I wouldn't be shocked if the Pacers are a 2 seed. I wouldn't be shocked if they're a 5 seed with how kind of top-heavy that whole division is. Oladipo looks like he's great. Miles Turner played some fantastic defense. The Cavs, I think, have a lot to worry about. I think Colin Sexton had 2 points in this game. Granted, they didn't draft him for his offensive prowess, but still, you want to see maybe some more production out of him. No news on the GM front, really, for the Suns. I had mentioned James Jones is the contender. How long do you think, get at me, how long you think it'll be before they hire a GM? To me, it seems like a process that, given the timeline where we are, there's 8 days until the season starts, that it should happen soon, right? Like, I think it should happen soon, but also I don't know how it happens soon, unless they've been prepping for this for a while, which they might have been. I read an interesting tweet that kind of summed this up, that the Suns have been in rebuild mode, for around 5 years, let's call it, around 2013. They let go a lot of their good point guards. They did kind of, I looked at, just off the top of my head, I thought, oh, well, this GM got Booker and Ayton. But those were kind of, not no-brainer picks, but, Ayton's the number one guy. He's looking great. So the GM definitely didn't do himself any favors with not putting them in a position to succeed this year or any of the previous years. But who knows what James Jones is going to do. It seems like there might be a shift in wanting to get GMs that are more player-friendly guys as opposed to analytics. I'm not sure what's happening. The ownership with the Suns really likes to be involved. So good luck with whoever gets that GM position. I guess my money is on James Jones. James Jones, let me know what you guys think. Coming up, I'm going to preview the Clippers game against the Nuggets. But right after this, we're going to get into Twitter Tuesdays. So this is the first edition of Twitter Tuesdays. Just something we're going to do when there's something fantastic or lovely happening in the NBA Twitterverse. Really, there's only one post I want to talk about, and then I'll kind of go in to how I think the Clippers media team is going to dominate this season. Biggest story was a video of Steve Ballmer absolutely wet from the three-point line. Real soppy boy in the Staples Center. He got the pass, just absolutely swishes a three-pointer from the legitimate NBA three-point line. I don't think any other owners could maybe do this. I'd like you to chime in if you think I'm wrong. I believe he said all in a day's work after he drained it too, which was very funny to see. I also am a big fan of watching people who shouldn't be athletic and who are very rich try and pretend like they do this all the time, because while his shot did look pretty good form-wise, I was not confident that he's out there putting in the minutes. It'd be nice to see Ballmer putting in more time off the court, maybe getting some shooting drills down using that stupid shooting cube or something like that. But this kind of bleeds into my bigger thing, is that the Clippers social media team has been absolutely killing it this offseason, really. It kind of started this offseason. They're the first team to have exclusive GIFs for reaction GIFs on Instagram stories. The Bobby and Toby series is absolutely hilarious. Still waiting on that newest episode, but that's we'll wait for that to happen. It just seems like with how much the NBA is fully embracing social media, perhaps to a detriment, it's nice to have a team with this good of a social media department. As players, you know, players are getting younger and they care a lot more about social media than, say, even the Blake Griffin generation. I think Blake is a guy, you know, that draft kind of seems like the shifting point to now when social media really blew up and has taken over in the last 4 or 5 years, let's call it. So it's interesting to see how big of a role social media is going to play in getting new guys to your team. There was an interesting stat that Trae Young has more followers than the Atlanta Hawks franchise on Instagram. That might sound like nothing to fans of the NBA over 40, maybe even 35, depending on how cool you think you are. But that's a big deal now. Social media is monetized. It's how you sell things. And I, for one, am very happy the Clippers are going to have, or already have, a top social media department in the NBA. Getting young players to buy into that exposure, it doesn't work for every single young player, but guys want to be stars now. Guys want, you know, they want the protection of the team, but they want the exposure of the team. So getting on a squad that has an established crew to get exposure out is invaluable, I think, for wanting young guys to seem enticed by your team, guys who maybe aren't going to sign rookie extensions and look for a big market like Los Angeles to come in and really blossom how they think they should blossom. The Bobby and Toby show, I think, did a great job of understanding that Boban is a meme in and of itself. He himself is a walking human meme, which I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I think this kind of used to be a derogatory term, but now people love it. Boban's smart enough to figure it out too. He's very self-aware. We have Bobby and Toby are two guys who are self-aware enough to know how to make this good without being corny. I'm just excited to see where this goes. The Sixers maybe have a better social media department, strictly for a certain Dario Saric shark video, which if you haven't seen, just go ahead and Google it right now. It's absolutely wonderful. That was really all I got to say about Twitter Tuesdays. Let me know if you have any thoughts about that. Shoot me some tweets you'd like me to talk about. Coming up after this, we're going to get into some notes from the open scrimmage and some game preview against the Nuggets. So yesterday at the Galen Center, there was an open scrimmage for the Clippers, which was great. I personally, so sorry, could not make it. Had some other business I had to attend to, but I have some fantastic notes from Jovan Buha, great reporter for The Athletic. You should check out everything that he has to write. Doc Rivers said he's probably going to rest two guys tomorrow against the Nuggets, which I'm happy with, you know. I think it's good. We got to figure out some of those rotation guys. Mike Scott has been horrendous this year in the preseason so far. Let's hope they can get that. To the scrimmage, Clippers open up their practice with two lineups. The starting lineup was Patrick Beverley, Avery Bradley, Tobias Gallo, and Gortat versus the projected second unit, which would be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lou Williams, Sendarius Thornwell, Mike Scott, and Trez. A note on the second lineup, usually Luke Mbamute would be in Sendarius' spot. He is dealing with an injury right now and some rest, so they didn't have him in. You know, that's a pretty standard, not surprising from that first lineup. Love to see Shai just in the second lineup in that scrimmage. That's a really awesome thing to see. Yesterday, I kind of was standing up and yelling about how Shai deserves more playing time. So I think we're going to go ahead and assume that Doc listened and liked what he heard, right? Thank you, guys. That lineup with Shai, Lou, Luke, Mike Scott, and Trez is going to be a real problem for people. Trez on that pick and roll, I mentioned this yesterday, with anybody's going to be great. And with Shai and Lou, they can score from anywhere on the court. Luke Mbamute, when he's out there and healthy, is going to have to work pretty hard on defense, which I'm a little wary of, given his injury history and just how bad Lou is on defense. No disrespect, Lou, but you're kind of a sieve. So this, I mean, I really like the second lineup. The only name that kind of bums me out is seeing Mike Scott on there. I will say this, I'm not sure who else we'd put out there right now, but we have two more games after this game against the Nuggets. We have, excuse me, including this game against the Nuggets, we play Hillel Maccabee, which if you can't get it going against them, who are you going to get it going against? So I'd like to see Mike Scott get a lot of playing time tonight and just get into a groove, you know, get a little bit of confidence before the season starts so we don't go into this brutal opening stretch with those first 14 games that are going to be terrible. The third unit of notes from the scrimmage is going to be Miloš. He got some playing time. His injury magically cleared up. I don't really know what's going on with that. Jerome at the 2, Wes Johnson at the 3, Sindarius at the 4, since he's probably not going to be in the second unit, and then Boban at the 5. They ran Motley yesterday with the 3s, which he's been a very pleasant surprise. Jonathan Motley's a two-way guy. He can score in a ton of different ways, so that's going to be cool to see. Motley and Boban on the court is length, length, length. I don't know. I feel like if they just, you know, like, stretch their arms out and held hands in the paint, no one could even get around them. It would be fantastic to see some lineups with Boban, Motley, and Shea on the floor together. So many hands in the passing lanes. I've really been hitting that hard these last weeks. I'd love to see that. But I'm happy with that third unit. I think depth-wise, it's, you know, it's a drop-off in scoring for sure from the second unit. You got some creativity with Miloš out there. Jerome, I'm happy he's in the third unit. I'm still not sure if he's ready for that yet. But, hey, it's good that he's going to get some playing time. We're going to hopefully see him get a lot of run time tonight. Do we hope that? I don't know. Most people on Twitter seem to kind of think that he should spend some time in the G League. I'm all for that, too. Wasting away on the third unit and not getting experience is something none of us want to see. So hopefully he either gets some G League time or really figures it out in the next 9 days or whatever it is until the season starts. Some notes about the game tonight. Really excited to see how we can contain Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. This is going to be, this is an awesome test for Shea to go up against these guys to see kind of where he's at against some of the top, you know, established young guards in the league. We're going to see his length hopefully used to help him out to stop Jamal Murray. He can score from a lot of places. It's going to be a good litmus test. It's going to be good to see how he reacts to playing defense with Lou Williams out there. And I don't think Luka Bamute is going to play in this game, but keep an eye on that Lou and Shea defensive pairing. Hopefully Shea doesn't learn horrible things from Lou. I don't think he will based on what we've seen, but nevertheless, it's going to be a fantastic test. Big matchup that is going to be a little scary to see is Jokic versus Gortat. Gortat has played really well on the offensive end for us in this preseason. He's been gobbling up offensive boards. He's been putting back, you know, he's been playing the pick and roll well. He's a fantastic screener. But this is a great test. Jokic is absolutely terrifying. He's one of the best centers in the game. He's one of the best passers in the game in general. I will firmly defend that until I die. For some reason, I would die for that. But I want to see how Gortat's defense can look against this. This is going to be against a big who handles the ball a lot. Gortat might have to be D'ing up a lot earlier on the court than he's used to. Let's hope he can hold his own. You know, I think Boban could probably maybe slow down Jokic. He absolutely dominated him last year at one point, which was really cool to see. So let's hope Gortat can step it up. He's going to be good on defense. He's going to, or excuse me, on offense. He's going to set those good screens. That's going to open up some lanes and some shooting spots. But really, we got to worry about that defense. I think it's going to be nice to see. Hopefully, we'll see some Trez on Jokic tonight. Just to see that bothersome, in-your-face, always go-go-going type of vibe from him. So keep an eye on that matchup. That's an interesting one. This also, this game in general looks to be kind of a preview of two on-the-cusp playoff teams. I will say I do think the Nuggets are a little closer maybe to making the playoffs, strictly because of Jokic. I will say that. I think he puts them over the edge. So the starters matchups are going to be really cool to see and maybe pretty indicative of how we're going to stack up during the regular season against these guys when it really does matter. Watching the second rotation with Shea is going to be really cool tonight. Hopefully, you know, we can dominate against the likes of Mason Plumlee and Trey Lyles. Mason Plumlee absolutely torched the Lakers somehow, so that'll be something to look out for. All in all, super excited for the game. Really hope we get once Ty Wallace gets in playing time, there's still those two spots to figure out. At this point, the names that have been floating that are going to get cut are Wes Johnson, Milos, or Sindarius. I hope it's not Sindarius. I kind of hope it's not Milos. Wes Johnson, you know, do your thing, woo-woo-woo. But that remains to be seen. There's one more game after this one to kind of determine who's going to be on the team. So let's hope it gets figured out soon, guys. That is going to be all for me. I hope you guys have a fantastic Tuesday and you get to catch the game. My prediction for this game, I think the Nuggets are going to win. I think our very highly respected undefeated preseason streak comes to an end. We're going to lose by 7, let's call it. I think Motley's going to come in. I think Boban and Motley are maybe going to put up some garbage time points to save us from being a total blowout. Not indicative of how I think we're going to do during the regular season, just how I feel about this preseason game. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Get at me on Twitter with anything else you'd like me to talk about, debate. Hey, let's figure out some games to go to. I have been positive Chuck Mockler. This has been Locked On Clippers, as always, on the Locked On Podcast Network.